House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is March 3rd, 2015, the 34th day of the session. Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly. Connolly. Connolly, excuse. Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay. Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jennings. Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Here.
Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lockhart, excused. Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup.
Here.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Pennell.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Schwartz. Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Throne. Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by our own representative, Petroff.
In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful for your hand to guide us as we do this work. And please forgive us when we think we know your thoughts and your ways and your end game for us. Let us be satisfied to seek to do your will and not our own desires and our own egos. And Father, thank you. We are grateful for our brothers and sisters in the legislature and on staff who comfort us when we need to be lifted up. Thank you for them. Thank you for them, Lord. And please forgive us when we look upon each other with judgment and frustration. Help to bring us back to loving one another as you have taught us. And Father, as we drive home this week, please waken our eyes to the beauty around us, to the snow-swept fields and the sagebrush plains, the red cliffs and the gorges and the volcanic spires and the granite peaks. Help us be awake to your awesome wonder and beauty, and help us to be satisfied with those simple things, that we do your will, that we love one another, and that we appreciate the beauty around us. And Father, please lift up our brother, John Patton, for healing and his family for comfort. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 2, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 406, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 11, Selling to Junk Dealers, -ID Required, Ayes 28, Noes 1, 1 Excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 407, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 95, Speed Limits, Ayes 27, Noes 2, 1 Excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 408, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on the House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 124, Sales and Use Tax Enforcement, Ayes 29, 1 Excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 409, concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above. By the vote indicated, ayes 2, noes 27, 1 excused. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 410, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below. Senate File 134, Bighorn Sheep Plan, ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 411, concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicator. Ayes 15, noes 14, 1 excused. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 412. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 100. The Senate conferees are Senator Meyer, Chairman, Senator Bebout, Senator Von Flattern, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 413, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 144. The Senate conferees are Senator Coe, Chairman, Senator Bebout, Senator Burns, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 414. Mr. Speaker, the Senate File number 18, Expungement of Misdemeanors. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Joint conferees, let's see here. Expungement of misdemeanors from Senate File 18, reference House Meeting Number 53. And we'll continue on. Senate conferees committee report. Senate File 18, expungement of misdemeanors, reference House Message Number 353. And message number 415, Joint Conference Committee report. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, noes 0, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Chairman Swartz, turn in.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Members of the 63rd up in the North Gallery, You'll see three members of the Multicultural Mosaic Foundation, which is oversees Colorado and Wyoming. They provided you, hopefully you all made it down this morning for some breakfast and some coffee down the Capitol Tunnel. If you didn't get all the information you wanted to know about the trips this year on the exchange program, please go see them, or you can see me or any of the other members of this body who have gone on these trips before. But please welcome Yosef, Heike, and Nurjan.
Welcome to the House, Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the
yes,
floor?
Yes, please.
It is my first time to sponsor the page of the day. Mr. Bison Taylor, if you'd like to stand. He just turned 11 in January. He is in fifth grade, attending Anderson Elementary School here in Cheyenne. His favorite subjects, we like to hear this, are math and science. He's active in the Cheyenne Sting Club soccer team. He is a fourth-year piano student, a member of the 2015 State Championship Squirt Hockey Team, the Cheyenne Capitals. He's made a trip to the Capitol every year since 2004, when I had the privilege of introducing him as a newborn. And it's with great honor that we have Bison Taylor as our page of the day. His parents are Sean and Aaron Taylor, and he has siblings Ava and Slade Taylor, who are not here with us today, but they've come every year that I've been in office, too. And so thank you, Bison, for taking time to serve the people of Wyoming.
The doctor of the day is Larry Kirvin from Buffalo, and the nurse of the day is Lily Bavana from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Please welcome them to the House. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special event this morning. With us is Dan Pauley, who's run our LSO office for a long time, and is going to be leaving us. We have a resolution we want to read. I think I fulfilled my job. He was the editor of the Law Review the year after I got out of law school, and I always featured my job as being able to hire people that's smarter than I am, and I think I did a good job with Dan. So, Dan, if you would stand, please, and I'd ask the reading clerk to read the resolution.
The 63rd Legislature of the State of Wyoming honors the dedicated service of Dan Pauley upon his retirement. A joint resolution providing for recognition of Dan Pauley's service to the Wyoming Legislature in celebration of his many years of service to the State of Wyoming and expressing the deepest appreciation of the Wyoming Legislature for his contributions to this institution. Be it resolved by the 63rd Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Dan Pauley began working at the Legislative Service Office in 1981 as a staff attorney and eventually worked his way up to the ranks to LSO Director in 2000 and served in that role until his retirement in 2014. And whereas Dan staffed many committees during his tenure at the LSO, including the Joint Judiciary Interim Committee, Joint Agriculture, State and Public Lands Interim Committee, Management Council, Select Water Committee, Select Committee on Legislative Technology and Process, and the Select Committee on Legislative Facilities. And whereas Dan was considered the go-to guy for legislatures and LSO staff members alike because of his high quality of work, legal and non-legal opinions, and knowledge of the legislative institution and process. And whereas, before coming to the Legislative Service Office, Dan served as the county and prosecuting attorney for Goshen County, practiced private law in Torrington, and worked as a law clerk for the United States 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. And whereas, Dan earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in Political Science in 1971, as well as Juris Doctor from the University of Wyoming, where he was the editor of the Law Review and graduated atop his law school class in 1974. And whereas Mr. Pauley represented the Wyoming Legislature before the Wyoming Supreme Court in the seminal case of Management Council versus Geringer, Case represented the court with a classic separation of powers issues of whether the governor had the constitutional authority to veto substantive non-apportioned portions of a bill which makes appropriations. Mr. Pauley argued the case before the highest court of the state on the legislature's behalf and articulated the position of this institution with clarity, precision, and tenacity, and was a top-notch advocate for the powers of the legislative branch. And whereas Dan's cool demeanor and calm head, not in any situation, even in the most trying times, helped to get LSO staff through the stressful legislative sessions and was a model of success and professionalism for any agency director to follow. And whereas now Mr. Pauley can spend his days playing the guitar, golfing, and gardening with his family, friends, and especially his grandchildren. And whereas Dan is known to his family, friends, and co-workers as one of the most kind, loyal, patient, brilliant people they know, who is also a devoted husband, father, and grandfather, and who has a hard time going on any vacation without his children and grandchildren. And whereas Dan Pauley's work for the legislature, as well as his service to the Wyoming Air National Guard, has contributed greatly to the citizens of Wyoming, and his dedication to the legislative service office proved invaluable to his institution and to individual members of the legislature. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Section 1, that the members of the Wyoming legislature sincerely thank Dan Pauley for his dedicated service to the legislative institution, and especially for his professionalism and composure in carrying out his duties and responsibilities. Section 2, that after 34 years of working for Wyoming's legislative branch of government, he may enjoy many years of leisure and productivity to the extent he provided to the citizens of Wyoming. That this resolution be transmitted to Dan Pauley so that he may know the significant impact he had on Wyoming's legislative branch of government, and that he may feel pride in his legacy of public service to the Wyoming legislature. Signed on his 20th day of February, 2015, by Senator Phil Nicholas, President of the Wyoming Senate, and by Representative Kermit Brown, Speaker of the Wyoming House of Representatives.
Dan, would you care to share a few words with us, please? After all those years, you must have something on your mind.
Am I on here? There we go. Rare occasion for one of your staff to be able to address the House. Not that in the past I haven't wanted to. There have been times over the years when I've kind of stood by that door and heard a member say, you know, the LSO told me this was absolutely constitutional. Or the House attorney said, yeah, I'm good to go with this amendment. And I've kind of wanted to stick my head out and say, that's not exactly what I told you. In fact, it may be just the opposite. It's been a great run. I remember when I started in 1981, I was the only attorney in the House for a few years. And over where Representative Campbell sits, I had a little desk right there. And so while you all were debating, that's where I would sit and write amendments. Pretty distracting to have the debate going on. But over the years, lots of really fine people that have served in the legislature, some real characters that I really got to know and love over the years, and had a great staff all of this time, and I think they serve you really well. I appreciate this recognition, and good luck to all of you. Thanks.
Now, that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 397 on House Bill 162, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence. I move message 397, concurrence on House Bill 162, Provider's Order for Life-Sustaining Treatment. And this bill was referred to the Appropriations Committee. We worked it extensively, worked with the sponsor, and I think really brought the bill out, I think, in a manner that we all felt pretty comfortable with. I think the Senate really just added one more provision to kind of tighten this up, and you can see that to the engrossed copy on page 4, line 5. And so I would move concurrence. I've talked to the sponsor, and I think and the members of the Appropriations Committee, I think the Senate did no harm and basically tightened it up a little more. So I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 162. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen. Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxson.
Aye.
Pelkey. Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Allen.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 19 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 162. The next message for our consideration is message number 398 on House Bill 166, Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 398 to House Bill 166 and we ask you to vote aye. This was on electrical safety and fire prevention. We had a provision in the bill on page 3, line 5 there that said the curb ramp shall be in accordance with the rules and regs promulgated by the Wyoming Department of Transportation. This agency came to the Senate committee and said all of their rules and regs are promulgated in accordance with the current Americans with Disability Act guidelines, and they don't have any independent authority, that they just take it right out of the federal ADA. And so the Senate made this change and certainly don't have any concerns with that. The agency didn't, and the members of the Senate didn't. So I'd ask for your favorable concurrence unless there are any questions.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 166. A majority of the elected members is required. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell, Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 166. The next message for our consideration is message number 400 on House Bill 228, Chairman Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 400 to House Bill 228 and would ask you to vote aye. Members, the Senate just actually improved the bill in a rare instance and cleaned up the language some. So on page 3, the shares in the business entity are held by or in the name of a trust controlled by individuals. Just some clarifying language, and I think we're all in agreement that it was a positive change to the bill. I would be happy to answer any questions or call for the question with your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 228. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 228. The next message for our consideration is message number 403 on House Bill 212. Representative Kasparik.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message number 403 on House Bill 212, Workers' Compensation Claim Apportionment, and urge your aye vote. If you'll look, the Senate took the language that we had worked with and made it better, so that it more clearly identifies what is needed in claiming apportionment. So with that, I would urge you to vote aye.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 212. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson, Throne, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Barlow, no to aye. Yagi, aye to no. Pinnell, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 4 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 12. We're now at that order of business of consideration of joint conference committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 12, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 344 and ask for your favorable vote. We met on this, and we adopted two of the three House amendments to the Senate file. They're outlined in the attachment there, and basically we struck private. This was all the our fine lawyers downstairs trying to make sure this bill was going to work right. So if there's a problem, we need to go back down there. But other than that, it looks okay. We met, all of us concurred, and I ask for your favorable vote.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 12. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart, Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Conley, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 7 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 12. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 13, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 13. This is the Method of Execution Bill, and if this amendment seems familiar, it is. It is the exact same amendment we voted on last time that is that they would offer sedation, so it would be the prisoner's choice. And the reason we're bringing the same amendment again is last time there was somebody who expressed after the vote that they would have voted differently. It was too late to move for reconsideration, so we're just bringing the same amendment back, and so that's it.
Discussion on the motion.
Please vote aye.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 13. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Esquibel, no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Paxton, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Blackburn, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 28 aye, 31 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 13. I'm corrected that that was Report Number 2 and not Report Number 1 on Senate File 13. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 18, Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 18 and ask for your aye vote. Just a quick recap, Senate File 18 was the expungement of misdemeanors that we passed out of the House here that came over to us from the Senate. If you'll recall, we had also a House bill that passed regarding misdemeanors for juveniles. It didn't get very far over in the other House, so we allowed the good minority floor leader to piggyback on. It came out of the House, and the fact of the matter is we decided we wanted to keep Senate File 18 alive, and we'll look at the misdemeanors for juveniles during the interim, hopefully. So I'd ask for your aye vote.
Discussion on the motion. Representative, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just quickly, just to confirm what the good representative from the basin shared with us, it was just too complicated to combine juvenile expungement with this bill, and so I concurred in the decision to recede from the House position, and we'll take care of it another time. Thank you. So I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion on the motion. We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 18. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you've adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 18. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 33. Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Concurrence Number 1 on Senate File 33 and ask your aye vote. And this may be one of the weirdest conference committees I'd been on because I couldn't figure out what the Senate didn't like, and we went over there to confer, and they couldn't remember what they didn't like about the bill either. So after about 20 minutes, they realized where they had an issue, and then we debated, and we realized we were on the same side. We had taken out this section totally, but they wanted it back in with a brief amendment. So they're on page 6, line 16. After the word selected, we're going to insert by appointment. And so what this does is prevent mischief. In one of those situations where if a legislator or another county official were to resign, the chairman of that party, whichever party the county official or the legislator belonged to, couldn't go ahead and immediately appoint a bunch of unfilled precinct committee people and try to sway the election in that district. So it just ensures that those people, especially in the rare case that a legislator in the month of December were to resign their seat or a county official, that anybody to be replacing that elected official would have to be appointed before December 2nd. And so the situation may happen sometime in the next 50 years, but if it does, we've prepared for it with this amendment. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Discussion on the motion. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question on the bill. So does this effectively, I was trying to track it through, but does this effectively take care of the issue where you'd have, possibly could have, two different sets of people voting, even though one set was not elected?
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Mr. Speaker, short answer is yes. The only down part of this is you may have a precinct, especially for a legislative district, that might only have three or four people who are successful, who ran for that office. And those three or four people, in some cases, may be submitting the three names to the county commission. But we can address that with this bill anyway. But for the good representative question, the answer is yes. It wouldn't allow what we talked about the first time this bill was in the House, that you could have your new precinct people and your old precinct people the month of January both voting on an appointment. So this clarifies that and cleans it up as well.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 33. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton excused. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Piperinen. Pennell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Day. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 33. We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 3 from Senator Burns, an act relating to public health and safety.
There is an amendment. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment is being passed out. It's reaching this corner right now, so I want to give just a moment if I could, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1, Senate File 3, ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those things where we've got multiple parts of statute that are touched. We needed to go into another piece of statute and make sure that this prohibition of new drugs did not apply to this investigational component of which the bill brings forth. So I would ask for your favorable consideration. This is simply a cleanup. Be glad to stand for any questions. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 3. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 3 has passed. Senate File 3 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 8 from the Education Accountability, an act relating to education accountability.
There are amendments. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment 1, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 8, and ask for your favorable consideration. This is a very long amendment, and it took me over an hour to track it all the way through to where that I could feel comfortable about it. And I don't want to spend an hour of your time to go through there. Basically, what this does, what this amendment does, is it takes teacher evaluations back before the WASA Act was passed. Why would I want to do that? Well, I've had at least four superintendents talk to me about why we are doing teacher evaluations. In 2010, I'm told, I hope that's the right date, Chapter 29 was issued, and the school districts have been spending several years getting this new teacher evaluation system going. And basically what we're doing with the accountability bill is then changing that again. It's my personal belief that school districts should evaluate their teachers. They know what they need from each one of the teachers, and that they are best to set up the evaluation system that will be best for their district and for their employees. What I want to stress strongly, even though that this amendment will take out teacher evaluations, school evaluation, leader evaluation, district evaluation still stays in the Accountability Act. And what this bill also, or this amendment tries to do is to stop kind of the conflict, because if we have a statutorily mandated evaluation system, and then we have a school district that is trying to meet the expectation of the state accountability to where that they have to provide direction for teachers in two different ways, I think that that's a lot more work than basically what we need. The other thing that I would tell you is that the teacher evaluation portion of this, of the Accountability Act, was put together because at that time they thought that the state of Wyoming would apply for a waiver for No Child Left Standing. And anyway. We are not going to apply for the waiver, at least the way the wind is blowing today. And what happens is there's also a strong wind in Washington to where they're going to review that law. So we basically don't know where it's going. This does not let teachers off the hook. When I came here in 2001, there was a frenzy that we're not getting the bang for our bucks out of the schools. The teachers were the problem. We have to make sure that we do a strong evaluation of teaching. It's my belief that that there is strong evaluation of teachings in the vast majority of school districts, and by adopting this, we kind of shorten the scope of what Senate File 8 is doing to the district leadership, the schools, and the districts themselves. So I would stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, there's just one thing about teacher accountability that has bothered me, and that is it has been the intent, the way it was drafted in statute, that teacher accountability, you would create the same classification as you do for schools. So that's not meeting, partially meeting, and exceeding expectations. And I don't know where else in either business or state government do we put people's job evaluations out in the public. And I think it kind of violates personnel laws. Now, maybe that will all be kept inside of a district, but if we're creating a model that has to be kept inside of a district anyway, why have we kept it? So I have my real concerns with the teacher piece is that classification structure of teachers and how that will actually be implemented in the end, and whether that will be, you know, whether people in the public will say this teacher is not meeting or this teacher is meeting. We don't do that with any other employee in private business or in state government. So that's just one thing that has always concerned me about the teacher piece.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. And I think mostly because it's premature. And if you look at your bill, what we've done now with the deadlines on teacher accountability is we've pushed them back to 2019-2020. So we're going to have two committees working on these issues for the next couple of years. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about these issues. We'll have plenty of time to decide whether the system as currently contemplated in the bill, which is very loose, is going to work or not. But this certainly sets us on a track and down a path before we've been able to have those discussions among the committees. And then this floor will get to have those discussions probably for the next 2 years again. So I would just, the wiser move is to vote no on this amendment, allow the committees to move forward, do their work, and design a teacher accountability system that makes sense.
Representative Eklund, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm opposed to it, too. The other bill was meant to address timelines and whatnot. The accountability action that we took here a few years ago was designed to try to make the system accountable and tie it to the education the students were getting. I know a lot wasn't done. I realize that. But just the idea that it might be done has certainly improved grade school education. The grades have come up in that. I don't know if it's had time to work very well. And I think I was okay after studying the other bill with what we were doing. This doesn't make sense. I can't quite read it through. The other thing, main question I need to find out is why would we not apply for the waiver at this point?
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm standing in favor of this amendment. As we were working this bill in the Education Committee, we were really trying to come up with ways to get more of this bill back in the hands of our local districts, of our local school boards. And we really tried to do that with the amendments, and that's why we have a substitute bill here. The opinion given by those that are for this bill is, let's leave it as it is. And I think the opinion of the superintendents, the discussion we had in the committee meeting was, no, we don't want left as it is. We want it changed so we have more local control. So I think the last two speakers are talking about, let's just keep it as it is. We have a good system going. I hate to tell you, but this isn't a good system. We're surely trying to make it better. If you read your emails like I'm reading my emails, this bill doesn't have a lot of support from our local teachers. So I think the amendment that the good representative who's been, you know, dealing with education, been on the committee for a long time, has a good handle on what we really want to do with this bill. So, boy, I would really encourage you to do this. And I think it's in the best interest of not only the local districts, but our kids. I just like our local evaluating instead of having consultants and task force doing that. So I'm just really kind of excited about this amendment. So I encourage you to vote for it. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you can tell by the bill that these dates were pushed out to 1920, to give us some more time to be able to work the bill, be able to make it better, take more input, and try to figure out what will be the best way to evaluate teachers. But the other side of that is that if you have a good teacher, that teacher is commonly given the lower achieving students, and so that the good teachers end up with lower achieving students, trying to raise them up, trying to buoy them up, make the district look better. But what happens to that teacher when she can't do that? And so I see both sides of the coin, and I'll just say vote your conscience, because I think the committee could work it out in the by 1920 and make that work out, but by the same token, I see the other side of it. So I just say vote your conscience and see where it falls.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. I didn't put this amendment into the substitute bill. I wanted to make it separate to where that you can make a decision on how much local control that you wanted to put in the school accountability. As a former teacher, schools have been accosted because we could do a better job. Most people knew it. And basically there's the demand for that. You can also see that we have been going for a long time. To push back gently on this is premature to take this out of the bill is that when I was here in 2011 and we started the accountability committee, it was supposed to last a year. It is met for 4 years, and the representative from the middle of the state says we're looking at another two. So we're looking at 6 years. It's time to lessen the load of the accountability to the committee to where they don't have to worry about teachers. Let the school districts do that, and let them determine on how we can determine whether or not districts or schools are doing better. The bottom line is I brought this back because I want teachers to basically kind of know what the landscape is. And then the second thing about is I think that you can have better evaluations by people who can set up the job description. So I'd ask you to vote for the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
All in favor, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2, majority floor leader Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 8 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is on page 28, a section 4, and the amendment deals with the selection of the members serving on the committee. And in reviewing this statute, we realized that it's a little bit restrictive for the speaker and the president when they choose the members. And I'm just loosening up that language a bit. I respect that we want to make certain that we have continuity on the committee, but we also wanted to make clear that the authority, both the speaker and the president, would have opportunity to change that committee if necessary. And so all it does is delete the language starting on line 13 through 16, and then we insert new language on line 20 where we address the 63rd legislature and that they would serve on a select committee for that. And please keep in mind that we would address trying to keep as many members on with continuity because we realize the importance as it was just previously discussed.
Discussion on the amendment. Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the changing members on the being about a third every year in the House, it's hard sometimes to make these committees come up and work up, and so I'd support this amendment knowing that we want continuity and hope that everybody will follow through with continuity in these select committees. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 8. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 is passed. Senate File 8, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to the Wyoming Right to Farm and Ranch Act.
Senate File 9 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development.
Senate File 51, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55 from Select Water, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 55, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56 from the Natural Resource Management Committee, an act relating to public lands.
Senate File 56 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to school facilities project.
Senate File 57 does have an amendment. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As you see in your inbox, there's a handout that I gave you. It says my initials on top, State of Wyoming School Facilities Department on one side of it. The other side of it has Attachment 2, which is a security project request for 15-16 supplemental. So we had quite a debate on the security portion of this bill and whether or not these projects should go forward, as they are stated, without more vetting. And this comes out of a larger school facilities department. I just took the pages pertaining to it, but these guys have worked this up. They've done the work. I wanted to show everybody that the projects are here, and this kind of lists what's going on. You see those big projects off the very start, the one in the town over the hill and the one in the basin, are going to be working, actually building some vestibule entryway to make sure that we can get the security put together. The other littler ones in the middle of the page, down to, I guess I'll have to say the one with the bluffs that are piney, that those are more or less locks, putting locks into the building, trying to get some access into them. And then again, you're seeing a little bit of work done on the buildings themselves. And I'd really suggest that this body reconsider this and pass this amendment so that we can get these projects back online and get them going and get this working. Thank you. I'll stand for questions.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader, MMFL. We had a little discussion about this yesterday, and I think there was a perception that this was just sort of a shotgun approach to security, but your select committee on school facilities did spend some time with these over the interim. It was really intended to identify short-term, immediate security needs, not ones involving full-blown school capital construction. But as you look at the projects, and there is more detail available, but, you know, this is really basic stuff. Locks on doors, making sure that there's only a single point of access into schools. These are just really basic security needs. We put the money in front-loaded because we decided last year that there was some urgency. But it's not just willy-nilly spending. You know, it's not new landscaping to make the front of the building look better. It's really security, just basic fundamental security, making sure doors are locked, that there's a system in place. And I think that you know, we really need to proceed with these projects. And that was our intent last year. And there was a process set up. The projects were vetted by the executive agency. And they were scaled down. There were 67 proposed. And they, using their criteria, chose 35 of them. So it wasn't a random scattered process. There was a lot of thought that went into developing this list.
Vice Chairman Eklin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess a concern I'll pass on from our school district that hasn't really been talked about. They're working on some facilities things, and it seems like the price of these projects just keeps going up and escalating with inflation. And that was one of the things that they did say. And, you know, if we delay it another year, then we seem to increase the cost just based on what inflation is. And I guess we asked them to do this, and our commission has vetted it pretty well, and I think I'm in favor of this amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. rise in opposition to the amendment. And it's not as if I disagree with anything that's been said. School safety is very important. Okay, the people on the list were not willy-nilly chosen. They went through the process. What I think we need to look at, though, is this was almost, as an analogy, as we said, look, this is an issue we have to look at. So we studied it. We found some priorities, some procedures going forward with construction, some items that we have to look at to make our schools safe. Now, keep in mind, a lot of things that we've done with school facilities is always forward-looking. This is one of those few times where we're going back and looking at everything. So we took $9 million, put it in there to jumpstart the program. Good idea. Reactionary for us. Good idea on this. Here's what I get to is we haven't done the full assessment yet. But we've got $9 million there, and this is almost as if who is shovel-ready. It was vetted appropriately, but who was shovel-ready? And I look at this in terms of, you look on here, there's vestibules and walkways and things of that nature. I'm aware of one school district when I was coaching just a couple years ago, and there is a door in the varsity locker room. It exits right out to the parking lot. No monitor on that door. It's clear away from the office, back around the corner and through a hallway. So I agree what we have to do is get the single point of access and get those doors so that they're monitored, so a light goes off or a buzzer sounds or something into the main office. My thought process on this is this, get the full analysis, and then this, find out what we can do, and then prioritize that from what is the most important to provide the most safety for our children right now, and move down with that rather than simply building more square footage and vestibules on here. Another interesting point, and I don't have the handout, I didn't hand it out, was also the fact that schools on this list that were approved have money in their major maintenance budget. So all I'm saying is great program, great idea. What we've done is wonderful with the study and moving forward, and it's important for us to recognize and act upon the safety, to protect the safety, to protect our children. I just think that we were a bit reactionary and said, hey, we're going to do this right now, and that's what you've heard is, hey, we're ready, we're going to do this right now, we'll get this built, we'll save this money. Well, would we be better off than some of these projects to wait a year and find out and then go hit those schools that have blind doors that nobody can monitor, that go out to a parking lot, and make sure we come back in and get all of those taken care of? Then we start to look at the vestibules, and then we start to look and move down that list. That's all I'm saying with this, and so I'd ask you to resist this amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you have the engrossed bill in front of you, if you walk down the bill itself, it's just, to me, it's very enlightening. If you go to page 16, control access, $760,000. Vestibule, $800,000. Walkway, $650,000. Walkway, $420,000. Walkway, $440,000. Vestibule, $300,000. Controls, and those are presumably door locks, $220,000, $121,000, $187,000, $297,000, $259,000. So these are awful fancy locks we're putting on control doors. And what happened was we came up with $9 million and said, okay, let's put this for security. And then they got 67 applications, and they weeded out the top bottom of them because they ran up to $9 million like that. And so there's another $15 million sitting out there that's going to come back next year. And we also know that next year the funding for education is going to be substantially less than it was we have this year. And we're going to have a substantial reduction in dollars that are particularly going to Capcom. And so what we said is, look, let's just step back from this, but make sure that we're spending the money as wisely as we can. And where are the most important dollars supposed to be spent, both for CapCon and for funding education in the future. So we just to take back, take a step and slow down. And by the way, this was not vested through the regular process. It was a hurry-up process, and it was a voluntary program. Only the projects that are in front of us are the voluntary ones that people had kind of on their drawing board and says, man, here's some free money. Let's go get it. And that's exactly what happened. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Summers.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, thank you. On and for the amendment, full disclosure, I have schools on that list, and I would assume that the dollars that are appropriated, the School Facilities Commission looks at those dollars, understands that issue of how what it takes to, you know, perhaps retrofitting a school with a front access, it was in all likelihood could be very, very expensive. And the fact that the last speaker said that certain schools or certain projects were weeded out means that there was a priority, at least based upon what was available. So I would urge you to support this amendment.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Just to reiterate the arguments that I made yesterday, I think these projects are going to be done. When I was on the Board of Trustees, I always looked at the projected cost and was always happy when the projected cost was inflated and the actual cost was much lower. We have an agency that will go through these. I would like someone to answer whether or not that the districts would have to build these and then submit for reimbursement. Inflation is a concern. When I was a trustee, every time we delayed a project, we just watched the cost of that project to go up 5 to 25%, depending on what's going on. The other thing that happens with small projects like this also is that they cost more than what they're in a big project. And I hope that seeing that there's multiple schools within districts, that we can bring down the cost of that. And then the projects. These projects are not inexpensive. I was a trustee several times when we did security stuff, putting in the pathways. Even redoing the vegetation outside for safety was a concern and often very expensive. And finally, to counter the major maintenance argument, yes, these school districts have major maintenance, but they also have lists. They have lists that go out 3 or 4 years, most of them. And what you talk about free money, yeah, I guess you can say that, but all of a sudden, too, they are hit with the security questions, and then what will happen is they'll have to look at the major maintenance. I commend these districts. They're saying, hey, if we're shovel-ready and ready to go to get this to preserve their major maintenance, I think it's they should be applauded for their diligence.
Minority Caucus Leader Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Majority Leader. Listening to the discussion and the debate on this, you know, it's really consistent. We tell the schools that we want them to secure the premise. We want them to do all the thing that's good for the schools. We get dictates from this floor. And then when they come down to do it or we find an avenue to do it, we turn into not supportive, but we take up an adversarial position on this. Just once, I'd like to see this body take up a position in support of what needs to be done in the school districts across the state. This is a reasonable request. It's a reasonable outcome for what we need to do. Again, these projects are ready. Why don't we just, for once, let's just show that we can support the local school districts.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I would like us to be a little cautious here. Look at the big picture of all our schools. Schools in my district, your district, every one of them, new or older, need these type of retrofits to help out. But I'm wondering if we really look at all the priorities and instead of those that just kind of said, well, I think we're ready to go, let's do this. I think we would be leaving some of the schools that are probably in a higher priority than some that are on this list. So I just want to look at all of them, get the priorities, and then spend the money instead of, let's do this. And when you say, we have the money and it'll cost more tomorrow, so let's hurry up and get it done, that raises a little flag with me. It's true, but let's hurry up and spend it. If we don't, somebody else will get it. So I'm a little cautious here. I think we need to step back and look at the big picture and then go with that. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? For your first time? Your second time, Minority Floor Leader?
Thank you, Madam Majority Leader. Just to summarize, we do have this unfortunate habit in this body of starting something about doing the research and then getting cold feet at the last minute. This process began after the 2013 legislative session with an executive multidisciplinary task force. They developed standards. They vetted standards. And then, so it didn't just go through the school facilities department. It's all part of a process that we've been going through since 2013. And I would remind everyone the reason that we did that was because of a fairly catastrophic school incident in December of 2012. So we decided it was an important issue. The executive branch thought it was important. They put the work into it. They developed standards. They identified needs. And then this body last year said some of these needs are going to be important enough that we need to do them now. And so there was more process based on the security criteria that was developed, through the preceding 2 years of process. And now suddenly we come to the 11th hour and say, despite everything we've said for the last, 2.5, 3 years, we're going to stop everything now. I think it's important for the body to understand that the major maintenance argument is kind of a red herring. This is done through what's called component funding. It's different than major maintenance. These projects are not major maintenance projects. I think if they were major maintenance projects, then we would tell the districts to do them with their major maintenance budgets. But that's not what these projects are. And so they've been vetted through the process. This is just following through on a commitment that we started in 2013, and it's based on the standards developed from that process. And doors in schools need locks. Access needs to be controlled. Those are pretty basic security projects. And the other point that I don't think has been made yet is that the school facilities department actually asked for immediate funding for these projects. So there is some urgency, there is need, and I would urge you to vote aye on the amendment.
Anyone else want to speak for their second time? Vice Chairman Northrup? Representative Yagi?
Thank you. As I just look at the costs of these, if you turn to any of the pages, 16, 17, and it just strikes me that we are spending $400,000 for walkways, $700,000 for an entryway access. We just did some court securities, and one of the courtrooms that one of the counties put in, They put a $12,000 entryway that is so secure, bead on it. I mean, it's, and that cost $12,000. So I just look at the costs of some of this. Have we bid this out to see what it's really going to be, and are these costs realistic? And again, looking at the whole picture and getting more of a bid process and a cost effectiveness before we just hand this money out. That just sounds like a lot of money for, you know, $500,000, and we've got some that are looking at $39,000. So I'm cautious here. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'll be brief here. I just want to point out the fact that the full assessment for the state of Wyoming is not done. If all the square footage in the state of Wyoming had been assessed and this priority list was based upon that, I wouldn't have a problem. What I'm saying is, and we're not backing out in the 11th hour, the money is being held. All the language for the priority was there in the Standing Committee Amendment. What we're doing is waiting until the assessment is done, completely done. Why would we jump out and do this without having all the information in hand? You know why? So we can hurry up and spend some money. I'll tell you what, we will spend some money. We will spend some money protecting our children, but just do it in a rational way with all the information in hand. So, again, I'd ask you to resist this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. And, folks, just to say that this is already, train has already run down the track, I would have to push back on that. You know, we commission lots of studies that do lots of things. And if you look at the folks that put this study together with the Homeland Security, and they hired a consulting group from out of state, and they came in and said, oh, my goodness, you've got to do all these wonderful things. And so during our committee meetings, we said, well, how much is it going to cost if we implement everything that you think that we need? And their answer was, well, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And we just kind of sit there with our jaw dropped and said, well, why in the world do we, you know, and now we're jumping off the bridge to spend $10 million just like that. And trust me, if we follow the exact recommendations of that study, these remodelings are going to come back for the next 10 years, and it's going to be hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So we need to step back and through the interim, have a look at those studies because they're worthwhile looking, and then try to follow the component arguments on, so you need a new vestibule or you need door locks. Well, then how much has it cost? What are the construction processes for it? Do you need, the equivalent of two brand new schools to do this? Or do you need a $150,000, bricks and mortar walk-in building? And those aren't really answered. And so we're just saying slow down. We're just going a little bit too fast.
Vice Chairman Northrup, you're up.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. So the Select Facilities Commission, which works with the School Facilities Department, gets together and looks at all these projects, and they go through them, and they vet them, and they have asked for design and estimates of cost, and that's where you're seeing that money dollar figure come from. That's from an estimated cost. The next step will be that the district with the commission will ask for a bid. And so these projects are all going to be rebid again. And if we delay it another year, we know that inflation will take its effect on those bids. So by kicking the can down the road and delaying it, it will end up costing more money. And the question is, do you think that these projects do not need to happen in these school districts? Because if you don't think they need to happen, then we'll kick it down the road another year, and we'll come back and we'll be asking for the $10 million, as the previous speaker said. This is a $9 million request that was appropriated a year ago, and I just ask for you to vote yes on the amendment and defeat the previous amendment. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 57, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. The ayes, please stand. Thank you. The opposed, please stand. The second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 57 has failed. Senate File 57 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Allen.
Privilege of the floor.
It is granted.
Thank you. I would like to call your attention to the Shoshone Tribal Liaison is in the North Gallery, Leslie Shakespeare. Give him a hand.
Welcome to the House, Mr. Shakespeare. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74, having been read two separate times. Oops, excuse me, Mr. Reading Clerk.
Senate File 74 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to supplemental at-risk financial assistance for a summer school and extended day program.
Senate File 74 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 80,
Senate File 80 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to trade and commerce.
Senate File 80 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85 from Senator Scott, an act relating to Long-Term Care Choices Act.
And Senate File 85 does have an amendment. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As we spoke during Committee of the Whole, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 85 and ask for favorable consideration. I know this is a simple bill, had two repealers. We went back and looked at the bill. We had another section of statute, Title 35, that needed to be addressed because the same things that we deleted, repealed out of Title 42 were in 35. And then as we looked further at Title 42, we had two definitions for the same thing and they were not worded the same, so we distributed that through there because there was some ambiguity about how this would be doing. The one substantive thing that was done is at the top of page 2 on your amendment. And the way this is set up, there's a program, there's a pilot program. They are both capped at 5. And what we felt like, in talking with the bringers of the bill, and you'll see those are the chairman of the committee number 10 from both side, from both bodies, is that we wanted to give a little more latitude to allow this program to develop. So we doubled the number, retained the 3 that shall be in smaller counties with smaller populations, but we doubled the size. So this is really more cleaning up of statutes and definitions, clarifying, and then giving a little more latitude to the agency to double the size of the program should we get it off the ground. Thank you for your favorable consideration.
Madam Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. We used to have a representative on this floor that would say, this is a really good bill, and I encourage you to vote for it. And so I would like to echo that and tell you that this is an improvement on the bill to be able to go to 10 pilot projects. And I appreciate my committee members going through and finding 42 and, to find the sections that were omitted in the changes. And so I would encourage you to vote for this really good bill.
Is there any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 85, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Second reading amendment number 1 to 85. Senate File 85 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 91.
Senate File 91 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to charter schools.
Senate File 91 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 98.
Senate File 98 from Senator Landon, an act relating to school athletics.
Senate File 98 has a couple of amendments. The first one, Representative Summers.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, thank you. I'd like to move Second Amendment number one to Senate File 98 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is more or less the one I pulled yesterday. There was a mistake in it that the good country lawyer brought to my attention, and so I cleaned that up. And basically what this does, if you go into the bill on page 2, and this is where your education committee had issues, we really didn't understand that Section E was really that interpretation, more or less, of current law, and we didn't really like the wording of it, but really that's how the law is interpreted. So I believe that this is duplicative and is not needed at the least, and at its worst, it if you read the language, it really tells districts you really don't have to worry about following any concussion protocols, and so, you know, you don't worry because you're not liable. Well, I don't think we want to send that message either. So, one, it is duplicative, and two, the message it sends is not a good one in my mind. So I'd urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Yes, I think we need to hold the districts accountable, and the only way we can do it is to not let them have a scapegoat. So I support this amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 98, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 98. The next amendment for consideration, number 2, is Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 98 and ask for your favorable consideration. All this does is, in the list of sporting events that we're discussing here and covering, is to insert rodeo along with everything else on page 2, line 6, right after cheerleading. You'll notice that in the bill that it does cover, quote-unquote, horseback riding and equine-related events, but I think that just to put a more broad, encompassing, all-inclusive definition on that is to insert rodeo as a sport to cover sports that might not be used or related to using a horse. So on in favor of the amendment, so please vote aye.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On in favor of the amendment as we keep expanding this activity area. It's just what happens in schools. People see a new idea and they put it into the activities. It's a great idea. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on second reading amendment to Senate File 98? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Second reading amendment passes to Senate File 98. Senate File 98 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99 from Senator Dubout, an act relating to professionals and occupations.
Senate File 99 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 116.
Senate File 116 from Senator Johnson, an act relating to legislature.
And Senate File 116 does have an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer. Dave.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 116 and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, all this does is just says every 2 years that we will align our per diem with what the federal government does. I believe when we look at the mileage end of the spectrum, they do that every year. And I would ask for your favorable consideration or stand for questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I
I think you should probably vote no on this amendment, and I'll tell you why. What it's doing is just subordinating our decision-making to the federal government. And, you know, it's true that we, on the fuel tax, or the fuel reimbursement for mileage, that is updated, but that goes up and down depending upon the price of fuel. And there's some predictability about that. The other thing about this, if you look at the dates beginning in January of 2017 and so on, what's going to do is cause our budgets, our state budget, to be out of sync all the time when we come to this line item. Anytime that the federal government decides to do something and change the per diem somewhere, then our budget is not lined up with what the amount of per diem is in our statutes. So you know, we've seen this same language in a couple of amendments in the, during the budget time. We've seen that language in another bill that's come through here, and it's a poison pill. They never pass. And I think that if we want something to pass, we need to be able to, you know, say to ourselves that we've got control over this, and we're going to set it until we have evidence that it should be moved, and not wait for the federal government to decide it for us.
Any further discussion on the amendment prior to the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. A couple of points that I'd like to bring up. Right now, the auditor automatically does the mileage for us and for the executive branch. And the executive branch automatically gets these federal increases as they happen. So the executive branch is already matched up. And all I'm asking for is that the legislative branch get matched up. So it's not any big thing. I don't think it's going to make a big effect as you look through all the folks in the executive branch, a lot more of them than what you'd see down here. So I would ask for your favorable consideration. Vote aye.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 116, please say aye. Opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 116 has failed. Senate File 116 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 121.
Senate File 121 from Senator Hastert, an act relating to labor and employment.
Senate File 121 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 126.
Senate File 126 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to water quality.
Senate File 126 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 138.
Senate File 138 for Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to economic development.
Senate File 138 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 141.
Senate File 141 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 141 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 145, and there are amendments. The first amendment for our consideration. Oh, excuse me. Chief Clerk, please, or Reading Clerk, please read.
Senate File 145 from Senator Peterson, an act relating to public health.
And there are a couple of amendments, Chairman Harvey, for the first one.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. This bill is about keeping hospital doors open for a year so that we can study the governance, we can study the payments, we can study whose responsibility is what for charity care and uncompensated care. But, folks, we have some hospitals that are in immediate danger. And so this amendment addresses that. It creates a new Section 3, and it's talking about House Bill 163 that actually was not enacted. It didn't get heard, and so it is dead. And in that bill was $1 million of general funds that was remaining from a program that we established in 2007. And so prior to the funds reverting on June 30th of this year, we'd like to reappropriate the funding to the state auditor for the period beginning with the effective date of this section, which is effective immediately. And the reason to park it in the auditor's office and to have an immediate date is so that we can immediately help those hospitals that are in the worst shape. And so please understand that this is a grant program to any hospital having 25 or fewer beds, and that's the definition of critical access hospital. So these are the small hospitals in your communities that provide that first, and for some people the last door, to go in for care. And so in order to achieve the grant, they have to demonstrate that it provides uncompensated charity care, and for the period between July 1st of 14 and December 31st of 14, so that's the prior 6 months to session, the hospital did not have cash reserves sufficient to cover 200 days of operation. Now, the 200 days of operation is significant in this way. In October, the CMS will enact new billing code systems. And when that happened the last time, there was a lot of confusion between those who bill and those who receive the billing. And sometimes they go back two or three times. But our experience tells us that 200 days is how long it took for turning around the bill from when it was billed until when the bill was paid. And so that is significant. And then it talks about the hospitals, and those statutes refer to critical access hospitals, shall apply to the state auditor no later than May of this year to qualify for a prorated grant under this section based on their demonstrated charity care costs. Cost is an important word there. And this they need on May 1st of this year. And this is not to exceed 100%. Their costs. So they get covered in two ways, or one of two ways. It either brings them up to cash flow of 200 days, and or it covers their uncompensated charity care costs. But the maximum award is $250,000 to any one hospital, and that award would be determined which was the less of the two, the 200 days or the uncompensated care. And like I said, this is a new section, and it is effective immediately, and I would stand for any questions.
Representative Summers?
Madam Majority Floor Leader, and I think that last bit answered my question, but just to make sure, where is the money, the money that's in the original bill, is that all left alone by this amendment? And I guess that's my question.
Representative Barlow, Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. So I'll take a couple of those questions. Absolutely, the bill as it was on the committee of the whole stays firm. This is new language for a new pot of money to further undergird those hospitals that are most vulnerable in our rural communities. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about those rural hospitals. So we keep intact the appropriation as it stands in the bill before you on page 5, section 2. That stays in place. That is key to this. Section 3, new language, new money. That is being brought from another program that will sunset. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would urge your support of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I just wanted to talk to the body a little bit about some of the things that this money can achieve in these smaller rural hospitals where they do really struggle with ongoing efforts. So they've got the potential to recruit a new doctor. They could potentially, this could potentially make the difference in payroll. And on some of the sheets that you saw earlier, that is really actually a pretty big issue with some of these smaller hospitals. They're days out. I mean, some of these outfits are just a mere 2 weeks from not being able to make payroll. It could offset the uncompensated charity care that is being provided in our hospitals, same people that would have qualified for Medicaid expansion. Meeting financial obligations, potentially keeping hospitals from having cut any services, being able to purchase life-saving equipment and upgrade aging equipment, and that is a huge issue in some of these older rural hospitals. When you look at some of this aging equipment up in my neck of the woods, they've really got a tough time with some of this equipment because some of it is 20 and 30 years old. Potentially eliminating the need for any layoffs, allowing the hospital to remain viable and continue to serve their communities, and preventative maintenance. What are we looking at in preventative maintenance? I'll give you an example. In my county that I come from, their hospital, for a long time there, they went without hot water any of the rooms. Well, if you look at that issue of not having hot water or warm water in a room that you're living in, the trickle-down effect on that is huge. First of all, you're talking about more of a chore for the people that work at that hospital having to fetch that water. Second of all, you're looking at a morale issue for the patients that are in there. On and for the amendment, this is one of those no-brainers for me.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On and in support of this amendment, the critical designation here is Critical Access Hospital. Now, what that means, this is a Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services designation. Number one, as the bringer of the amendment mentioned, it has to have 25 beds or less. Number two, it describes reimbursement rates, that the CMS shall reimburse 101% of the costs, not the charges, the costs that a critical access hospital incurs when delivering care. Now, for eligible Medicaid and Medicare patients. Now, since sequestration, that has gone down to 99%. We've had about 15, 16 months of sequestration now. So these hospitals aren't even being covered for its qualified Medicaid and Medicare patients at their cost. So every time when they used to deliver a service, they knew they were going to get 101% of their cost if they were a critical access hospital. Now they're down to 99%. Please, let's take this bill home. Let's take this bill to our districts. Take it to our hospitals and say, we didn't give you Medicaid expansion, but we've done this. On and in support of the amendment and the bill.
Anyone else for their first time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There are two kinds of uncompensated care in a hospital. One of them is charity care, and those are the people that are at 100% of federal poverty level and lower. The second one is uncompensated care, and that is people who are higher than 100% of federal poverty level. And it also... It's for people who don't or can't pay their hospital bill. So we're not talking about uncollected debt. We're talking about when they walked in the door, the hospital knew that they were not going to get a nickel from for their care. The question was asked, does this leave the rest of the bill alone? Well, it does. And so there's still a distribution formula in the bill. It's one-third, two-thirds. One-third goes to those that are not critical access care hospitals. And two-thirds is going, again, to those that are smaller and have less ability. If they have a hospital district and they have low county valuation, if they're a county memorial hospital and they have low county valuation, there's little ability to make up for that charity care. And so this just addresses, and actually, and just for full disclosure here, it gives a double dip for the critical access hospitals. It gives it two appropriations. It takes $1 million off the top, and it puts them to the most severely impacted. And then the second part, the rest of the bill, gives it another appropriation. So I just want you to know that the $5 million is distributed among all hospitals, but not all critical access hospitals can qualify for that $1 million because there are two of them that are above 200 days. So they're not all in dire straits, but those that are get that. A share of that $1 million. And with that, I would ask for the question on the amendment.
That question being called on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 145. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
The chairman thinks it has passed, but I will ask for a standing vote, please. All those in favor, aye. I think the chairman was right, but opposed. Please stand just to verify. I guess we're good. All right. It feels good to be good. All right. So second reading amendment number 1, Senate File 145, has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 2, Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. And 5 years, I learn a lesson every time I come down here. I'll move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 145. What this amendment does is takes the concept or the idea that we just voted on for the grant program for the smaller hospitals and deletes the $5 million that gets spread out under the other funding formula. And the concept was how do we help these 5 or 6 hospitals that right now are in dire straits? And so it's the same formula, except for it's down to 100 days of operation costs that they would have instead of the 200. So we're talking about going right at 5 or 6 of those hospitals that really are hurting right now and gives them some significant funds to help them continue forward. And it does away with the other appropriation, which is spread out over all the hospitals that are on your list. And as I spoke the other day, and as I supported this bill to get it through its first reading, thinking that we could find a solution that might be workable. But the problem with the bill, now as amended, is we're sending the wrong message. We're giving money to hospitals that have been mismanaged. We're sending money to hospitals that aren't taxing themselves. And we're saying, here are your funds. In several of the communities, one being mine, we're sending money to an out-of-state corporation. What message are we sending? You know, we did not pass Medicaid. However we wanted to vote on that, however you felt about it, we did not pass Medicaid. So now we're just going to take money and throw it into a formula without knowing Who's taxing themselves properly? Who's actually, which counties are putting the money into their hospitals to make sure they have the proper facilities? To understand where the funds are going. These funds are going to be used locally? Or are they going to go to pay a bonus for an executive in another state? So that's all my amendment's doing, is recognizing, hey, we've got a handful of hospitals right now that are in need. Just get the money to them and just help them out. So I just ask you to think about the policy message we're sending and ask you to vote aye on this amendment. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Yeah. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Just a little bit of pushback on that. Hospitals are huge economic drivers in their communities. Sometimes they can be the largest employer in your community. In the county directly to the south of where I'm from, that they are the largest employer in their county. The impact can be huge. If we start losing these facilities, do we start losing lives? Which community can afford to lose its hospital? And I'd ask you to vote no on this amendment based on that alone. And also a little bit more pushback on the whole, we've got to really delve into these hospitals and find out which one's privately owned, which one's this. We didn't even do any of that for community college funding. How is that different? But these are hospitals. These are in our homes. This is where our families work. This is where our families go when they need help. And I'd ask you to reject this amendment.
Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would ask you to reject this amendment for a couple of reasons. But I want to talk about the message first. We've heard some reference to the messages we're sending. Well, here's the message. Indigent care is real. That is charity care. That's taking care of people 200% of poverty level and below. Hospitals are treating these folks, and they are required to do so by federal law. So, ladies and gentlemen, the message is, there's a real need, it's really being provided, and what is our role in the state of Wyoming to be a part of that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're the place where we do need to make some more adjustments potentially. We do need to look at the revenue streams to these hospitals. We do need to look at the governance. But that does not negate the need to actually step up when we need to step up. Real people going to a real hospital, providing real services in our communities, and here's our opportunity to step up and be a part of keeping them viable so that the next time when we convene, we're not convening because we've got a wreck. We're convening so we can actually continue and build upon what we have. Thank you. On and against this amendment for the bill.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Against amendment, but I think I want to move a technical correction on line 18 based on your ruling of this. Can be counted as a technical correction? After the word grant, I think you need to insert the word funding. The sentence doesn't read quite correctly. I kind of see what they did when they took the First Amendment and cut some language out, but they didn't grammatically structure it correctly. So if it's okay with you, Madam Chair, I would move to add the word funding on line 18 after the word grant and move that as a technical correction to the amendment.
I would approve that, Chairman Zwanitzer, and then we'd have to vote on that.
Yeah.
So would you approve also the sponsor of the amendment?
Yeah, no objection.
No objection. Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries on line 18, adding the word funding after the word grant. All right, continue with debate. That would be Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple different things. Over the weekend, I went through on the Internet to try to figure out how much in new construction that all our hospitals have done in Wyoming in the past two or three years. And I stopped tabulating after $320 million. That's what new hospitals have added on in new projects in Wyoming at a minimum in the last 3 years. In this county alone, it was almost $100 million. Up in the middle part of the state, one tower was $57 million, and that wasn't even the beginning of what they were doing. And if you go down to the southwest corner of the state, there was a brand new $20 million unit. You just can go on and on and on. And so the idea that we somehow have to do this because someone's going to go out of business or is not going to care for anybody is simply incorrect. It's simply not true. And during our committee meetings, not one entity said, if we don't have this, then we can't open our doors and we can't provide services. Simply not true. If you go to the handout that was provided to us, you know, and it's hard to read the handouts, but if you look at the handout and you add in district funds and federal contributions, at least, and I just did a quick synopsis, just now, at least 13 or 14 all operate at a profit. And then you have all the different kinds of hospitals we were talking about. You've got the privately owned hospitals that run for a profit. You have the nonprofits. You have the ones that have districts and the ones that don't. And all of those hospitals calculate their actual costs differently because they have their own criteria on how they do it. So do we really know that they're not getting funded 100% of cost? Well, of course not, because we don't know what their cost is versus another hospital's cost. We don't know how they wrap in all their new construction and added construction and all these things. What we do know is that there's no hospital going out of business. In fact, the Wyoming Business Report in 2013 said, as one of the top stories of the year, that our hospitals are all doing well, they're all doing additions, and it's one of the great things about Wyoming because we're able to fund it all. And yet here today, people are saying we're trying to stop doors from closing. Well, I would just say that if you have any hospital that's going to close their doors that told you that, raise their hand, because I'm telling you, no one's told me that. There is one or two hospitals that really can use some assistance, and the $1 million does it, and so it's appropriate to take care of it. But everything else, we're doing it on misinformation, and it's sending the wrong sign to what we want to do. And, you know, our hospital funding system has been developing over 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And all of a sudden now it's the whole system's wrong, so we got to give them $5 million and pass it around to some of the most profitable hospitals in the state. I just want you to stop and think about it because it just doesn't make sense to me. Thanks.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Honored against this amendment. As for calculating costs, there is a rigorous CMS worksheet that every hospital who submits, every critical access hospital that submits for reimbursement, they have to prepare this. And there's a brutal audit. And every hospital in this country that has the critical access designation has to calculate these costs one way, CMS's way, and if there's an error, then payments get hung up, indeed, for months. Every hospital has to go through this. It's the exact same formula. As for new construction, let me tell you why my hospital is adding another operating suite and refurbishing its emergency room. The federal government mandates that as a critical access hospital, we have to keep one emergency room open at all times for when the emergency C-section comes through the door. We also have to have a general surgeon on staff 24/7, 365. Well, that's fine until the surgeon wants to, take a vacation. So now we've got two surgeons at a smallish facility with 25 beds. We've got two operating rooms, one of which has to be kept open. So we have had to build, in order to keep our surgeons, a third operating room so that we can keep one open at all times. As for the emergency room, we got a little busted because there was no privacy in our emergency room, and the federal government is cracking down on that. So we are over in the Valley of the Stars. We are using some of our cash reserves while still trying to keep a nice cushion there, and we are borrowing. But these are projects that we have had to undergo because of federal mandates and to maintain our critical access hospital status. Maybe the grant process can determine that in order to qualify for the grant, money has to be kept in the state. The grant process can be very selective, making sure it doesn't go to the state with the Grand Canyon. And I would also ask if all that construction money doesn't include some private facilities that don't have to maintain an emergency room, don't have to stick to the EMTALA requirements, which is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, which says if someone presents at your emergency room, they must be treated. On and against this amendment for the bill.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. I urge you to support this amendment, and I'll tell you why. If you go to the handout that we got yesterday, and somebody's going to have to convince me that these charity care numbers are comparable going across from one hospital to another. We've got one, for example, that's got 39,000 in charity care. A little town. Another town that's even smaller has $1 million in charity care. Then you got the one that's got $1 million is another hospital within the same county, so only got 74. Now, you know, we don't have that much difference in charity cases, caseloads, from one part of Wyoming to another. I mean, we're kind of homogeneous in that regard. And if I'm right on this, I mean, what we're doing is passing out money according to the biggest number that we can find here without any regard to whether they need it or not. Now, the thing I like about the amendment that's up here now is that we're going to be able to separate the ones that need it by their coming in and showing us their books and why they're a candidate to be considered for this. So, you know, we don't have enough money to be just throwing around indiscriminately, and I think that $500,000 that's in this bill as of now, that portion of it is, I can't feel comfortable that we're doing the right thing with that $5 million. So please vote for this amendment.
Representative Yegi.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. That last comment kind of set me back. We just don't have enough money to be throwing it around like this when we just passed a $320 million supplemental budget. I could give you specific details, so that rubbed me a little wrong. But even though I like the concept of this amendment, as we analyze the hospitals, we want to look at their mill levies, the cost of services that the hospitals are charging, the administration, the salaries that they're charging, the new buildings built. I agree, we need to get a handle on this. We need to look at that. But I submit to you, if you're going to be this scrutinizing with this amount of money for the services that are provided for the people all around the state, I would like us to look at the agencies that we're funding, the college, the university, with that same scrutiny and analyze the same. I dare say you would find some inconsistencies there also. So I think I'm in opposition of this amendment and for the other one, because the other one we are helping across the state, and I am concerned, and I hope we do look at all of the things that have been mentioned so we can get a good handle on how each hospital in the state is operating. So I'm against this amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? All right, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, on and for the amendment. I think it really kind of zeroes in on what we feel or believe are the hospitals most at risk. If you look at, as it stands now, $6 million, really we really don't know. I mean, we don't know whether it's going to pay off construction or debt service or health insurance for employees or raises for employees, because it's just part of that whole operating thing. But I think the thing that bothers me most, really, everything we've tried to do on this floor and with our health department and our committees here are really trying to get folks to not use hospitals, not use those for that care that can be done at our health centers and rural health clinics. And so really what this does, it rewards hospitals, and I think the good chairman of revenue said, that have the highest costs. So if you have the highest costs, you get more reward with this bill. And so I think it does nothing to keep people out of emergency rooms. It rewards, it doesn't, you know, part of the big issue in healthcare is that revenues are not going anywhere. Revenues are pretty flat. And so how do we get down costs? How do we regionalize some of our smaller hospitals? And you can see some of the money going to these small hospitals are already managed by out-of-state hospitals. But I don't know. I just worry that this deal comes in and we can say we did something because we didn't expand Medicaid. I mean, I looked all week and I thought, is there another federal program like, you know, where we can somehow get a match, where we can somehow, and I went round and round, is there some rural health grant or something? And really, the answer is no. I mean, it's Medicaid, and which is 90-10. And so we go round and round to that issue, and, you know, that's what these hospitals really all wanted. We said no to that, and now we're trying to, I think, do a thing that maybe, frankly, makes us feel a little better. Because it's really not going to, it's not going to be a life raft to hospitals. It's about restructuring. It's about cost control. And those things are all going to be difficult. And we always see that when we get into these times where money starts getting a little tighter. And so I'm going to, you know, support the amendment. I think it goes to those folks because currently as the bill is now, it'll go to hospitals that have 400 days of operating cash, 300 days, 200 days. And I don't think that's the intent, to spread money to those hospitals. So on for the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to address some of the questions. When you go down the chart, the cost of charity care, and you see a wide variance, it simply is that that hospital serves more people that are in a low-income area. So you've got some of them. You can look at the two that start with L, and one of them has quite a bit more than the other. It's because they serve more people. It's because they draw from a larger area. So should they have more charity care? Well, they have more people that they're serving that do not have the ability to pay. There were questions about mill levies, and I can tell you that one of the committee topics that our committee is turning in is to study hospitals, study their governance, study their mill levies, study how they tax themselves, study how all of these payments come in. There was a question about directing people from emergency rooms to primary care. Well, I tried that amendment, and I lost that amendment. And that was to drive the money to the primary care so that the money and the people would have the ability to go there. That did not pass. As far as regionalization of hospitals, I think that to a degree that is a good idea. But the one thing that I would argue with that is that what group of citizens in this state would you separate out and say they do not deserve that golden hour? That 1 hour that makes a difference between disability and ability, that 1 hour that makes a difference between life and death. And so if you want to have people travel a long distance to their hospitals, particularly if you're talking about uncompensated care, you're talking about people who don't have the ability to have a decent vehicle, to be able to buy gas, and then you're asking them to travel for health care. So I think that we need to recognize that golden hour opportunity and what happens in that very first hour following an accident, a heart attack, a stroke. There are a lot of different things. And so just look around the room and say, who in this room doesn't deserve it? And what citizens in the state don't deserve that golden hour? So regionalization, okay, well, maybe for other tertiary care needs, I think you're right. I think that we should look at not duplicating certain services at different hospitals. I know in my part of the world, there is not, well, okay, there have been two babies delivered in the last 2 years, and both of them emergency, because neither hospital in my county offer maternity care. So women are traveling to deliver their babies into another county anyway. That's one instance of regionalization. But part of that was based on the hospital's inability to provide medical malpractice insurance, which is a whole different topic. So I would just wanted to offer you more information based on the comments that were made.
All right. Is there anyone else for their first time prior to your second time? Anyone else for your first time? All right. What? Chairman Harvey just finished her first time. So you're on your second time?
Oh.
Harshman?
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I just wanted to really make sure that, because I did not say that anybody was talking about closing any hospital or anybody's golden hour. That's not about that. It's about a hub and a spoke, and it's about efficiencies and regionalization. We've got one hospital that we're talking about has 19 days, or if you average 6 months, it's got 30, 40 days of cash, 60 miles from another hospital with 400 days of cash. Well, why can't we somehow figure out a hub and a spoke, and we share doctors, and we share critical access at times? That's what. But see, you can't do that when everybody's territorial. And everybody says, no, this county line is where it begins and ends for us, and we're only going to fund it this much, or we're not going to fund it, but we're going to come to you for more money. I'm not talking about closing that hour, that window. Nobody said that. And so, but I think we got to start thinking outside the box on this is the sum of health care in the state of Wyoming. This is how big the pie is. How do we serve people the very best? See, the talk isn't even about people anymore. This bill is not going to change the number of people that will receive charity care in any way. The numbers will not go up or down if you vote yes or no on this bill. It will not make one difference to one person who needs charity care. They will still receive it. My point is about how do we get the most efficiency with our really limited resources, because Wyoming is so different. And our charges are way off the map, and folks won't come here, all those things. But how do we pull it together? And we won't do it if we got these imaginary lines with fences down them. And then we start doing these things where we say, oh, we're going to close you down in your hour of your window. I'm not talking that at all. I want to, let's go big picture on this and do the right thing. So on for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. It was asked by someone who supports this amendment about this money going to salaries and things like that. Who are we in the capital city to care what the hospital does with this money? If it does mean a raise for the 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. nurse that has to be on call in the emergency room, what do we care about that? And as for consolidating services, it means in my neighborhood, I go 40 miles for an MRI, or I go 80 miles for an MRI. I don't know how services in this state can be consolidated or streamlined due to the distances we have to travel. And if there's an ambulance involved, they're going to take you to the closest facility. Defeat this amendment and vote on the bill. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I would just like to, you know, the prior speaker had spoke about how this is not going to change any of the charity care, that it's still going to be taking place no matter what. He's absolutely right. It's not the fault of these hospitals when people utilize their ER. When people utilize their ER, they're required to care for those people regardless if they have the funds to pay for that care or not. And in lots of cases, the people that most utilize the ER for instances that are not life-threatening, that still cost and still ends up being charity care, you know, that's the majority of that ER care. My wife actually works as a nurse, and that's the majority of the care that they do in the ER in the small communities. They have a lot of people that come in, and you know, that's how they utilize their hospitals. You know, they don't set up an appointment if kids got an ear infection, what have you. They take them into the ER, and that's unfortunate. And that's most of the time that's a charity care situation, and that's what we're looking at helping out here, guys. On and against this amendment.
Anyone else for your second time prior to the sponsor of the amendment? Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. So it wasn't that many years ago, about 10, that something similar to this was done for acute care. And those dollars went, by the way, the formula works, if we like formulas, that basically no more than four hospitals would have got those dollars. And this is what it was for. Unreimbursed trauma care. Unreimbursed trauma care. Way as defined in that particular piece of legislation was something they couldn't get paid for within 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about care that will not be paid. These folks don't have the means to pay the care for the care. Irregardless of how much time you gave them. And it is being delivered. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have done things that are like this. We have done things that are selective to bolster our care system. This is no time to say we need to study more. We will study more, I assure you. But we also have to actually act. And acting would be defeating this amendment and forwarding the bill. Thank you.
Representative Greer, for your second.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'll be brief. And you're right. We will study more, and we will spend more. We'll head down this path. And so I guess that's a decision you look at. You know, what this came to me was this concept of, hey, we need to do something, because we have some hospitals out there that are in fear of their doors closing. This is a solution to help those few hospitals that are right there. Okay, that's what this amendment does. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. You know, we use the analogy, we have a gaping wound and we're just putting a Band-Aid on it. Well, at least this one in cauterized that wound for those hospitals that are about ready to bleed out. So, you know, defeat the amendment. If that's what you want to do, we'll pour this money in without knowing who's taxing themselves, who's taking their tax dollars or their county dollars from one program and making sure that they have a hospital and prioritizing that way. We don't know who's managing their hospitals correctly. We're sending in just the wrong message with this bill. At least this amendment helps those hospitals that really are in a dire need and fixes that problem for this year. So I'd encourage you to vote for the amendment.
Okay, the question being called on second reading amendment number 2 to House Senate File 145. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please say aye. And
thank you.
Opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment has passed. Senate file 146. So, Senate file 146 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you. Madam Majority Floor Leader, I'd move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
We probably have announcements and privilege of the floor, Representative Crone.
Yes, Madam Majority Floor Leader, thank you. The privilege of the floor.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The Congressional Sportsman Caucus is hosting a lunch in the Hirschler Atrium, so go down and grab a sandwich and hope to see you there. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanzer Dave.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet right now with the light committee from the other body, assuming they're out of break, to discuss interim topics in H-17, right up the stairs to the right.
Seeing no further announcements, the House is in recess until 2 p.m.